Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Hello, friends. Great to be with you again. This is Richard Barter talking to you today about the new government policy statement on transport for 2018. We've heard a lot about this in the media, and I just thought that I've actually got the actual document in my hand here. Well, not all of it, but I printed off about half of it. It's about a 70 or 80 page document. And I hope that we can, in the time we have together today, explore a little bit about of where this is coming from. We know the media will always pick up on certain things that they feel will get a response, and depending on the journalists that you are listening to or reading, you're going to get a very different picture. And of course, as we know, they want to always say something that is distinctive, that will resonate, you remember in a little soundbite. And unfortunately, that is not always a good reflection on really what's trying to happen, what the intention of these things are. So as the government policy statement, it sets out the transport policies and spending on transport, and it does this over a 10-year horizon. It breaks transport spending down into specific areas, and it sets up a funding range for them. Those ranges are then used by the New Zealand Transport Agencies and regional councils to come up with more specific plans for how that money will be spent. And those plans have to be consistent, and they have to show that they match the policy statement that the government came up with. Now, we had a revision to the previous government's policy statement around 2016, and I just thought it might be worthwhile us going back and having a look at that, and particularly the context out of which that arose. If you remember, we were still in full recovery mode from the earthquakes in Christchurch, and in 2016 we had the terrible storms which damaged the roads up the Kaikoura coast. And so everyone was suddenly thinking, golly gosh, our transport network is really vulnerable. And the focus was on, hey, we just got to move stuff. We've got to get freight around the place. We've got to do things that are going to keep economic activity happening. And so out of that, we did see a big focus on roads. We saw about 55% of the budget in that particular policy statement focusing on roads, on rebuilding, and on these roads of national significance. So in the two policy statements, the first one, which I just referred to, had a focus on economic growth and productivity, road safety and value for money. The new policy statement that has just come out a week or so ago also has a focus on value for money, on safety, but instead of economic growth and productivity as being a focus, they're talking about access and the environment. So there's just that's the difference in emphasis. I believe that if we dig a bit deeper into that, we'll find that there's actually a lot of similarities. But I just wanted to note the shift. We came through that trying, terrible period, and for many people, the effects of the Christchurch earthquakes and the damage to the roads on the Kaikoura coast are still evident today. And of course, that went further. We saw ports in Wellington out of action for a long time. We are very vulnerable to natural disaster in New Zealand in terms of our transport system, our ability to get around. So, given that we had that earlier government policy statement. Let's have a little look a bit deeper into the one that we're just grappling with at the moment. So as I mentioned, there are four main strategic directions in the new statement. The first is safety. I've talked about this before, and we've had this unusual situation, and it's all around the world. We've seen this drop in road deaths over the past sort of 20-odd years, but in the last year or two, that drop has flattened out, and in fact, the numbers of people dying have increased. And so it's not surprising that the number one strategic direction for this government policy statement is safety. As I mentioned before, that was a focus of the last government as well. So I guess this reflects a significant increase in the level of ambitions for delivering a road transport system free of death and serious injury. The idea of the safe road system, or the safer systems for zero harm, is that it takes into account the fact that accidents, crashes do happen, but the focus is that as a result of a mistake, people shouldn't die. And of course, that covers off vehicle technology, it covers off behaviour, covers off roading infrastructure, and the sort of the legislation and the systems around, like speed control, those sorts of things. So this signals a greater commitment to road safety and investment into improving the safety of regional and local roads. Now, the second focus is they've called it access, and this has a couple of parts to it. The first part is access to opportunities and markets, and this increased focus looks at the situations of urban centres, regional development, nationally important freight and tourism connections, and a continued focus on the resilience of the land transport system. But it does place greater focus on resilience to climate change impacts, as we were talking about earlier. The second aspect to this concept of access was an increased focus on urban centres to ensure that transport and land use planning reduces the need to travel by private motor car. And so we've talked about this in the past, but this is not about saying there's a problem with cars. It's about saying that people need to get around, they need to do things, and they should have choices. My wife driving home last night, there was a police thing happening on the Southern Motorway from centre of Auckland going south. They shut down a section of the motorway. Everyone was sitting there for half an hour. Nothing happened, sitting still on the motorway. Not everyone, in fact, a great number of Aucklanders simply do not have a viable choice to get to and from work other than using their car. And, of course, for many, if they had a choice, something that was attractive, something that was reasonably cost-effective, something that was enjoyable, well, then many would take that choice and not have to sort of stick to the status quo, which often means they're very vulnerable in terms of things going wrong. And so included in those choices are public transport, walking, cycling, which we hear a lot about. Now, it's interesting. We talk about the growth in cycling, and you've heard me talk a lot about this in the past. But in reality, the amount of money being spent on cycling in this new policy statement is 1% of the total budget. So while it gets a lot of focus and everyone mentions cycling, the previous global The previous government policy statement from the previous government highlighted cycling, but the reality is that it actually has a tiny part of the overall amount of money being spent on it. So the third strategic direction is on the environment, and this supports a mode shift to lower emissions forms of transport, again including walking, cycling, public transport and lower emission vehicles. It's well acknowledged the number of deaths each year, which are premature deaths caused by vehicle emissions, and we have talked before about the enormous cost of anyone dying through a natural means. And so I think this is where this focus is on. We've got Paris agreements, and we need to recognise the public health benefits from reducing harmful emissions. Hey, we're going to take a wee break there. We're going to listen to Sarah Vaughan singing that lovely song, How High the Moon. Amazing, How High the Moon. Some of you may have read, for the better healed amongst us, the opportunity to actually take a holiday in a space station seats are running out quickly. You get to share the space station with about eight or so other people, and I guess you get a better focus on how high the moon is when you're halfway between, well, not halfway, but you're up there looking at it from a different perspective. But today, as I mentioned, we are looking at the government policy statement on transport 2018, and I thought now we'd just go through the various aspects and look at the increases and decreases in what's being proposed in terms of spending. Now, of course, we're just talking about percentage increases here. The actual dollars and cents are quite hard to get your head around because they do talk about ranges. And a percentage increase is just that. It doesn't actually reflect on the actual amount. But let's have a look at this. I guess the number one is a 46% increase in public transport. And this will support the expansion in public transport networks and an increase in the operating subsidies for public transport. This is quite contentious in some people's eyes. Many would say we think that a bus service, for instance, should stand on its own feet and be profitable. Of course, the problem with that is that an awful lot of taxpayers' money goes into supporting roads, building and that sort of thing, which are used by cars. So you could argue that there's a lot of subsidies going into the use of a private motor car as well. Now, a new activity class here they have put in is rapid transit. We don't really have any rapid transit systems in New Zealand yet. We've got heavy rail. We've got the closest, I guess, we have that to that would probably be in Auckland with the Northern Busway, where we've got a dedicated bus route, which is now carrying over half of folk travelling to and from work from the North Shore are now going by bus. And the focus, a lot of the focus on this will be the plans for light rail to the airport and out west. And we're going to continue to see this new activity class getting a lot of attention. Now, the next section is, and this is, they've allowed over $4 billion over 10 years for this activity. The local road improvements, they're talking about a 42% increase in what was spent in the past to improve local roads and upgrade them. And likewise, regional improvements in regional roads. Of course, remember, we've got local roads which are looked after by councils, and we've got state highways which are looked after by central government. And a big challenge for local councils, district councils, is that for some of them, they have a low rate base. They have, in fact, a diminishing rate base as people move to the cities, and yet they've still got a large network of roads which they have to maintain. And so what we're getting here is a big increase into the assistance to local and district regional councils to maintain and improve the safety of their roads. Now, the one decrease in this is state highway improvements, and there's an 11% decrease. Now, if we look at the actual dollar figures, a great deal of that decrease is as a result of putting a hold on the Auckland East-West connection. And this, again, is a controversial topic. There's big problems with getting freight in and out of the land port in the centre of the Onehunga area. And this the East-West connection was seen as a way of doing that. That's been put on hold, and the money that, or part of the money for that, is being used to fund some of those other increases. And we're all waiting to see, in fact, what options are going to be put out for discussion to solve the problem of getting freight and people from the State Highway 20 to State Highway 1 through this very busy area, Onehunga, Penrose. There's going to be a 14% increase in road policing. There's going to be an 81% increase in road safety and demand management. Now, this is going to continue road safety promotion, alcohol interlocks, and to include demand management measures. One of the aspects that the media picked up on immediately when it came to the announcement of the GPS was the fuel tax, the regional fuel tax and the national fuel tax. And this was a big focus on this, on the attention, and many people question that, and you could argue that it's not a good long-term process. What this road safety and demand management budget is looking at is creating the ability to price roads, basically, to set up congestion charging systems, which I guess technology has moved a long way. We have toll roads, those big gantries you can see in different parts of the country, Tauranga and Auckland particularly. These things can't be put in overnight. And so this amount of money will be invested into coming up with a system that's going to work well for areas around the country where there is congestion. And at the same time, you can't just start taxing people when they need to drive to work in the morning if they live in the city. You have to have other options for them before you start doing that. And so there is a call, why don't we have congestion charging now? But it's not as simple as that. The next activity increase is in state highway maintenance. So there is an 18% increase in the maintenance of our state highway roads, 22% increase in local road maintenance. There's an increase in investment management and rail. The transitional rail, this is a new class which will support rail priority transport options. Again, for instance, we know that we need this third railway line out of the ports of Auckland south, and it's even been suggested that they should really be building a third and fourth line to move containers out of the port area in such a way that the urban rail system is not held up. And then there is a big increase, a 248% increase to support walking and cycling. But as I said earlier, while that's a big increase percentage-wise, the total amount for walking and cycling still sits at 1% of the total budget. All right, a lot of numbers. It might sound a bit misty and hard to get our heads around. Let's listen to Sarah Vaughan again singing that wonderful song, Misty.
Would I wander through this wonderland? never knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove. I'm too misty and too much in love.
Is amazing, Sarah Vaughan singing Misty. Well, we're just into our last few minutes, and I'm sure some of you have views on this government policy statement on transport, and I'd be really interested to hear from you. I did hear back from you after our last session together, and I appreciated the comments. So if you want to do that, sending me a text is a good way. 021-277-1213, or you can email me richard@path.net.nz. So let's just summarise where we've been today. We talked about in the previous government policy statement on transport, we'd come out of a period of massive disasters, and there was a focus on getting freight moving, the big roads, and because that's where a lot of activity happens. In this period now, the government has really chosen to look at the issues being faced in the big cities, particularly like Auckland, with the growth. Growth has exceeded everyone's projections, and this concept of linking transport systems and land use is reflected in the very simple fact that we've got quite a lot of roading system and we've got a lot of land allocated to that, but we can't keep increasing the amount of land to cope with more and more cars. We have to use that land more efficiently, and this is where the focus on public transport has been chosen. And we've talked about this before, the numbers of people you can fit on a one railway line equals any number, six or seven motorway lanes. And so this is reflected in the big focus on public transport. We've talked about the need to look at the commitments that the country has made, cross-party commitments to reducing our emissions, and this is something that is reflected in the focus on transport systems that don't require as much emissions being put into the air. We've looked at safe systems. We've got a problem with the numbers of people dying on our roads, and lastly, value for money. And these things are common all the way through this and the previous government's plans. So, interesting days ahead of us, and I'd be interested again to hear your views. And I hope, and I'm sure you do as well, is that we're going to get progress. We're going to get it's going to be easier for us to get around, and the things that we want to do, we'll be able to do them in a way that suits our lifestyles. So once again, thank you. I've enjoyed spending this time with you. Please come back to me with any thoughts, questions, and I look forward to seeing you next month. Bye for now.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.